We're going to start in the obvious place. We wanted to talk to the guy who found the John Doe disco cassette. It's a guy named Tom Dislongchamp. He's an artist and a designer and does a little bit of everything. But he is a kindred spirit to you, Warren, I think. He got obsessed with this tape, and it sent him down a rabbit hole of its own. So we're going to hear his story now.
So last June, my friend Tim Manthe, we've been friends for a while, he invited me. He loves the Goodwill outlet in SoDo. I saw this media bin that was full of books and VHS tapes and cassette tapes. And this digital age we live in, I'm still very intrigued in analog formats, cassette tapes. I have fond memories of recording goofy, you know, home recordings when I was a kid. So I had recently bought a cassette tape player, like a little handheld one that looks like a Walkman, and needed some tapes to record on. And I get to the bottom and I see a white cassette tape with an orange label. So I picked it up, looked at it, and it's got this Cinema Sound Corporation, which sounded kind of intriguing. Like, wow, is this stuff made for a movie on it? Like music or score, or maybe they would record on tape while shooting film. Like, what, you know, I had all these ideas. So I brought it home and popped it into my tape player and started playing it to check for content. And I played and fast forward and played fast forward through one side and didn't find anything. So I rewound it and decided to just start using it as a blank tape for my own recordings.
What kind of stuff did you record on?
I like to be creative a lot. And I would start doing improvised little snippets of situations with characters, oftentimes sort of cowboy sounding, tough guy stuff, which is like the opposite of me.
Everybody stand up. There's a hold up. I mean, get down. I mean, Jerry, what do we do? What do we make them do?
And when I play it back, like, it's like a new version of my childhood where I got to just have all these tapes that were my favorite tapes. They're like your favorite movies or your favorite albums. I liked making my own stuff, which is fun.
You bring a piano into a helicopter, and you hit all the keys with the chopper blades, and it goes like this. And it turns into a
So you tape some of that material on what you take to be a blank tape, and then what happens next?
I was on a bus ride downtown to go to the dentist, and I brought the tape with me, and I flipped it over, and then all of a sudden this like synthesizer and beat comes on. And then I hear lyrics. And I'm like immediately on my phone Googling the lyrics and trying to find a lyric match, because I thought, well, this is probably a mix. It's probably just someone's favorite songs that they recorded onto a tape. And I just wasn't finding anything. And it was really kind of, I was getting really excited, like adrenaline pumping in my head, because I'm like, is this someone's demo tape? There's seven songs on it, and I listened to almost all of them on the way to the dentist and was just, oh man, how do I figure out who this is, you know?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
That's a good question. The art, what this person made, even though it's a little goofy, a little campy, it's good. Like, I think it's unique and it's special. Each song has its own emotional tone, and there is a common thread running through all of it of like loneliness and longing and desire, and that's what I think good art is about. It's like spilling your guts to the world, whether people care or not, you know? So that's why, I mean, yeah.
So you have this unlabeled cassette tape from the bottom of a bin in Goodwill. It's obviously decades old, not very much at all to go on. How did you even approach trying to solve the mystery?
Digitizing the music and just trying to share it with people was my first idea. Making a website that was very simple, that was just about, here's the lyrics, here's the music, do you know who this is, you know? And I've been searching for people that were around during that time that are the same age that may have been interested in the same things that this John Doe was into. I mean, I've been looking, researching old clubs in Seattle and trying to talk to people who went to those clubs, like Shelley's Leg and Tugs.
What were the clues that you pulled out of the tape and that you were kind of operating under?
I shared the music on Reddit, and there was a fella on there, I can't remember his name, it might have been Josh or something, but he did some digging, and he uncovered a very important clue, which was that he found a record, a single, called Fast Friends, that was pressed in the UK in 1979, and it's the same song as the first song. So,
but not the same recording, right?
It's not the same recording, it's the same song. It's a woman singing. And I think John Doe liked that single and was inspired to create a cover. That's a great clue because that helps date the music. That single came out in 1979, so that makes his cover of it after that. So that's 1979, 1980. From my research about Cinema Sound Corporation...
That's the company that made the tapes?
Yeah, and my wife actually was able to find the old president's phone number online through crazy Google magic. And I ended up calling him, and his wife answered, and they were on a boat. So I was like, is George there? She's like, may I ask who's calling? You know, and I'm just like, I'm Tom. You don't know me. I'm in Seattle. I'm trying to figure out a tape I found, like what it's about. So she hands the phone to George, and George is just kind of a little like surprised, and he described the tape for me before I could even describe it to him. So he knew what it was, and he explained
to
me.
You mean the looks of it, the color?
He's like, is it an orange label? I'm like, yep. He's like, yep, we manufactured blank tapes, and we sold them in mass. So he's like, anyone could have recorded that. And that was a big hit to my gut because I was like, oh, he's not going to know anything about this music. It's not even worth showing him the music.
So you mentioned Shelley's Leg. What was that place and what made you think of that?
One of the songs on the tape is, we call it Disco Palace, and it's he's just raving about this disco palace. And I'm just thinking like, that's such fantastic language. It sounds like it's this crazy disco land, you know, where everyone dancing all night. You'll never be alone at the Disco Palace, dancing all night at the Disco Palace. So I thought, well, man, this Shelley's Leg sounds like a wild place. It sounds like people would dance all night. It's probably a lot of cocaine involved. But there are a lot of people just not around anymore. It's kind of hard to find people even from Shelley's Leg. Even Shelley has passed away a few years ago.
So do you think Shelley's Leg holds the key?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of possible keys.
How long have you been at this now?
3 or 4 months.
Do you think you're going to find the answer?
I can't say yes or no, but I know that it's worth trying because it's connecting me to this community, and I wish we had more mysteries to solve. You know, investigation like this brings people together and you meet people you never would have, and I appreciate Seattle's past and history more. But, you know, even if we don't find who John Doe Disco is, his music can be appreciated, he can become a legend, because if he's never uncovered, it's an endless legend that we can develop our own mythology about, which is kind of fun.
What do you think it is about you and your personality that makes this a bit of an obsession for you? I mean, I feel like so many of us would have, even if we had been inclined to go through the big bin of cassette tapes and heard the music, which is already a pretty small, probably slice of us, that it wouldn't have occurred to me to like launch an all-out campaign to figure out who the music is from. So what's different about you?
I think I've always had this in me. I remember in college I found a bundle of thrown away photos in the garbage, and I pulled them out and kept them, and I think I still have some of them today, which is slightly hoardy. But obviously someone threw those things away and they didn't want them anymore. And there was probably some sort of heartbreak involved, honestly. Because photos, to throw away photos, it's a pretty like dramatic act. And my theory is that I'm sensitive to artifacts of human clue. So when I find evidence of someone's life that feels like I can feel it, I can feel their life in a very small way. It's like kind of the tip of an iceberg where you're like, wow, I just have this piece. What's the life like, you know? And when you go to like a thrift store or an antique store and you see all these artifacts of history, and John Doe Disco is like my mystery that I can keep trying to learn about.
Well, Tom DeLongchamp is a freelance animator, artist, illustrator, and we'll post a link to his website for John Doe Disco at our website, knkxsoundeffect.org. Tom, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for caring. Thanks for being interested.
Good luck on the search. I hope that if you do figure out who John Doe is, you'll come back and tell us.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell the world.